past, present, and future. Amen? As we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In the end of all things, life is nothing at all except what happens when you cease to live on this earth. Everything else, when that moment comes, when that time comes, nothing else matters. You understand that? All the things we have put our effort in to achieve and to buy and to get a hold of has no meaning whatsoever. You could be living in the most opulent house with all the gold trims and all the servants and the big cars and a big bank account. You can have it all. But when that moment comes, when you will stand in judgment before your God, none of that will matter whatsoever. That will be lost to you just like that. Amen? But Jesus. There's always that, but Jesus. Amen? When we have come into alignment with the very will of the Almighty God who created us and called us out of the darkness into the light, who saved us, who washed us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that same God, for those who have been washed and cleansed, will welcome them into the kingdom, welcome them into a beautiful place called heaven. But meanwhile, we still have to live down here. Somebody turn the heat off. Amen? Hallelujah. You think it's warm in here? Wait till you get to hell. There you go, smart people. You caught it real quick. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going. Good. Good for you. Don't ever let anybody say to you, you're going to hell. Even the devil can't tell you that. It's one and only one, and that's the Father. That's why it's crucial to know His voice. Because the liar is there all day long. The liar will sit there and tell you you're lost, you're hopeless, you're worthless. You can't do anything right. No matter how hard you try, you keep failing. And God is there saying, yeah, but my Son Jesus. Amen? You have to have the voice of God speaking to you all the time. Not just here, but here. There's a lot of voices out there. Be careful. So, the message that was brought, and I said it again, I'll repeat it again. If you can get your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your spirit in alignment or in agreement, as I used to say, he said alignment, but I'll say in agreement, your body has to follow. Understand, your body is just an inanimate object in that if the spirit leaves, the body is useless. Amen? If the spirit leaves, the body is useless. Jesus said, through Jesus, his Son, through the Holy Spirit, their lips are close to me, but their hearts are far from me. So their lips out of their mouth was saying, I love you. But in fact, what they were saying is, I love you according to my love. I accept you according to the way I accept you. In other words, and there's a scripture I'll bring to you later, he said they carved out images of God according to their image. We build God up to be just look and act and think just like us. Amen? And when we do things that we consider right, even though it goes against scripture, we have stated to God, I know better than you. That's a dangerous place to go. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in here, obviously. You are all, as the word calls us, unprofitable servants. We have come before the Lord. We bow our head to Him. We bow our hearts to Him. We declare Him the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we are submitted to Him completely, 100%. Right? We never, ever make big decisions in our life or any decisions in our life without first consulting the Holy Spirit of God. Because every day was created by Him, for Him, that you may in your life glorify him so that others may know him and not go to hell. Well, God doesn't care what I say, what I think, what I do. Oh, no? Then how come he says that he knows every thought that you have? Matter of fact, he knows the very intent of our hearts. He knows what you're intending to do. He knows why you're doing it. And just because we think we're right doesn't make it so. Right? Amen? The easy thing to do is bring you a message. I can bring you such a wonderful message to say, God wants you to prosper in all things, and that's absolutely true because it's in the Scriptures. But every promise of God is conditional upon our obedience and our willingness to serve. Right? Amen? But you know as well as I do, because when I bring you into the Scripture, you're going to find everything you need for a good and godly life God has already provided for you. It's already, remember what I said earlier? I believe by the Spirit of God. He said, I have given you presents. How many like presents? I like presents. But the presents have to be opened. What good is a present when you sit it on a shelf and never touch it? Amen? So what we want to do is, okay, Lord, we understand what you said. I get my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions into alignment with my spirit, because my spirit's been perfected by Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, if your spirit has not been perfected, today's the day of salvation. Today, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried in a tomb, rose on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you right now to come into the kingdom of God. He's praying for you right now. Well, I know I'm saved. Do you? How do you know you're saved? Because the Bible said so. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross. If you did, then there should be fruit of that fact. Your life should reflect the indwelling presence of Almighty God. Amen? Now, what is the Lord trying to do? Is not now take you from that position of salvation into a position of power and might. He needs every one of us, every single one of us, to operate out of the power of the kingdom of God, not out of the power of our own mind. Our mind, if not renewed, as the scripture we'll look at it in a moment, if it's not dealt with, can lead us into a way that is not of God. And there are traps laid for you along those ways. There's temptations. There's all kinds of ugly things along that path. How many of you know that God already set a path for you to follow? Amen? Now, my path may look a little different than yours, but it's still his path. We talked about it on Wednesday. You know, some people have got jobs and they work in this place and others work in that place. You're not there to get your needs met. You're there to be a light to those in darkness. You're there because you can reach people that I can't and others can't. You're called to be that light. That's your job. That's your purpose in existing on this earth, is to be a light to those in darkness. Amen? But until our mind is renewed to the fact of why I'm here, what purpose do I have? We'll always be looking for what we want, what we think we need, what we desire, rather than what God wants for us. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that he doesn't want for you that isn't good. In other words, every desire of God for you is to have a good life. How would you like a life without stress? Would you like a life without stress? How about would you like a life at peace at all times, no matter what's going on in your life? How about a life filled with such a hope? A hope means you have an expectation of something good coming. You always got this expectation. I don't know what it is, but something good coming my way. Amen? But how many times do we live in the fullness of cares and worries and fears, of unbelief, living a life based on the way I feel at the moment rather than on the Word? Amen? And so God is trying to get us out of, and I've said this, I just, if any sisters in here I've talked to, I'm telling you now, by the grace of God, God wants to use every one of you. And I'm talking about in power. You understand? In the prophetic, in the anointing to lay hands on people and cast out demons, to raise the dead. That God wants to use every sister in here just like that. But your biggest hindrance is your emotions. You're led by them too much. What you feel like today is how you're going to act and talk today. Men, you have problems too, trust me. Your problem is you're unwilling. The Bible calls you stiff-necked. You're unwilling to bend and submit to the authority of God. You won't get up on your face before God because you're afraid of what other people think of you. I look weak if I get in front of God and get on my face at the altar. All of these things cause us to miss the very power that God intended us to live by. The very anointing that He sent through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. All of those things that He promised us in these Scriptures that are ours, He promised them to us. It depended upon our willingness to allow Him to work in our lives and a willingness to follow the path He set for us. This is not difficult. I want you to know that. This is not difficult. This is not something. All we have to do is have a willing heart, a pliable heart. To say, okay, Lord. And now listen, and let me clarify one thing. This is not something that happens overnight. And we'll see this. It's a process of transformation, of renewing, of changing. Amen? And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and say, wow, they said that and it didn't bother me. That didn't happen and it didn't bother me. And I went down the road and that one cut me off and I didn't swear and scream and yell and beat my horn. They did that in Washington and you know what? Praise God, I'm still praying for them. I'm praying. Come on. You know how much stress is released just by not listening to the news? Amen? I'm a diehard ex-Giant fan. As soon as they start winning again, I might become one again. But I've been since Y.A. Tittle was quarterback. I've been back a ways. Most of you don't even know who he was. But I would every year be miserable. Then I think one or two times or whatever it was, they win the Super Bowl. And I say, oh, praise God, they finally got something. But most, and they fall into that. They didn't even deserve most of them. But I have learned not to be so, because I used to throw things. I used to scream at the TV. I used to yell. I used to jump up and down. Diane used to laugh at me because I'd go in the other room. I wouldn't even watch. She'd watch the game. I wouldn't even watch it. I was so upset. And it finally figured out, hey, stupid. It didn't just affect the moment the game was on. It affected the next day. I would turn the news on. When they say the Giants won, I'd get excited. When the Giants lost, I'd be depressed. I'm serious. So guess what? God gave me the wisdom not to watch and care. Amen? Now listen to me. If you get upset because you listen to the news, turn it off. It's not worth, well, whether you, I like the news, I don't mind the news. But I'm not going to sit there and listen to stuff that's going to get me upset and make me miserable. All right? You don't do those things. Yeah, but I got to know what's going on. You want to know what's going on? This tells you what's going on. Matter of fact, not only will it tell you what's going on today, it'll tell you what's going on in the future. You already know. And guess what? It's good news. It's a good report. We win. Amen? Oh, by the way, it also says we can win now. We can be over this stuff. We can be the head and not the tail. Amen? We can be free of anxieties and cares and worries. Yeah, but you don't know all my problems. You don't know what's going on in my life. I don't. He does. He does. And he got an answer for you. Well, I don't like his answer. What can I tell you? Well, I think he ought to do it this way. He ain't going to do it that way. He's going to do it his way. There's a scripture that says that we can comfort people with the same comfort we've got. Amen? When you have been comforted in times of stress and anxiety and cares and all the things that are going on in your life, and you receive a comfort, that isn't just for you. It's so you can share it with somebody else, because somebody else will go through the same thing. Amen? There's life that God intended for us. It's an abundant life. It's a beautiful life. Is it a life free from all the people talking about us? And no. You're going to be a Christian? There's going to be a lot of people out there that hate you. You know, a lot of people don't even want to talk to you, don't want to be around you. Could be your friends, could be your family even. Then you make a choice. Well, should I keep my mouth shut or should I? No. Be filled with the joy of the Lord, because it'll enable you to go through those times when people reject even your very presence in the room. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's start. Let's go into 3 John. Verse chapter 1, verse 2. Hallelujah. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Prosper means you lack nothing. Prosperity means you lack nothing. And he's saying in all things. All right? In all things. He doesn't want just prosper in something. God's kingdom, when Jesus comes back, sets up his kingdom here on earth, there won't be any lack any place. You understand that? You'll never be sick again. Amen? You'll never have need of food or you can't get, or gas for your car or you can't get, or whatever else. I don't think you need gas for the car then, but whatever it is, I don't know exactly how it's going to be set up down here. But I'm going to tell you what, if you ever have a need, it'll already be sitting waiting for you. But that's the way it is now. Remember, all good things come from where? Above. What's above? The kingdom of God, the spiritual realm, the very existence right now. We have the kingdom of God in us, but also there's another kingdom of God up in heaven right now. Everything coming out of there is all good things. God will not withhold any good thing from you. So if it's God's will that you have all good things, right? If it's God's will you have all good things, and he won't withhold any good thing from you, then maybe the things we're chasing after, they're not so good. Amen? That we're spending our whole life trying to get a hold of, trying to do, or trying to grab a hold of. That whole existence that we have that we focus on day after day after day after day, maybe that's not the good thing that God intended for us. Or maybe, just maybe, that that good thing wasn't for this second, but it could be in the future. Maybe right now you couldn't handle it. But there may come a time when you've matured. So in other words, if you're still just like the rest of the world, and all of a sudden God laid $1 million on your lap, you'd be like the rest of the world. Let's face it, unless you've been a millionaire, more than likely none of us here know how to handle $1 million. You understand that? So many people who win the lottery, they've never had a dime in their pocket. Matter of fact, they went out and got bottles so they could buy the ticket. And all of a sudden they get all this money handed to them. And they go off the rail. They don't know how to handle it. It's understandable. It's not knocking them. But just imagine you've been matured in God enough that you stop looking at the world to see what the world wants to do with it and turn to God and ask Him, what do you want me to do with it? Do you think God's going to tell you, here, get rid of it all? Depends on your heart. That's another whole story. We'll get there. All right. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. It's just as he's saying, to the degree that your soul prospers, the rest of prosperity comes your way. Again, why? Because now when you prosper in all things, you already have the ability to handle all things. Amen? Just imagine if God went and said, okay, I've called you, and I'm going to anoint you right now. You go lay hands on the sick. And they're all going to recover. You know how many people have gone down into flames? Great men and women of God who had great ministries. And millions of people coming through, people getting saved, people getting healed, people, all miracles. And they ended up in the ditch. Sometimes if we're not able to control or handle the giftings that we have, we're liable to take on the glory for ourselves. And God says, I won't share my glory with anyone. The glory that Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, the same glory you gave to me, I gave to them. Jesus was saying, listen, I'm not giving them my glory. I'm giving your glory to them. Jesus wouldn't even take the glory. Amen. But man has a habit of taking on the glory unless they have their mind and their soul prospering in the ways of God. In the thoughts of God. Jesus said in John 10:10, right? He said this, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have what? Life. That they may have it more abundantly. So he's saying the same thing here. I want your life to prosper. I want you to have an abundant life. That's an excessive life. God never intended you just to make it. God wants you overflowing. You know, when he went into they sent him into the promised land, he said, I'm sending you into a place where there's milk and honey. Amen? The milk you need, not only for your own well-being, but it's also going to be used in the marketplace. How many of you know you all have gifts to use in the marketplace? What's a marketplace? The business world. Living out there. A ditch digger that's anointed by God and serving God can prosper just as much as somebody who sits in the governor's palace. You understand? It's not by the world standard that we prosper. It's by the kingdom standard. And so it's just saying to yourself, and this is what the world does. The world has done this, and the church has fallen right into it. And they say, well, you've got to have a college education. You've got to go to Yale. You've got to go to Harvard. You've got to go to one of these big schools. You've got to come out with all these degrees, and then you're going to be prosperous. Well, you might be prosperous in one thing, money, but not in all things. Now, you can choose and say, well, I'd rather be prosperous in money, but not me, because I watch what people do who have money. They buy toys, and they never buy enough toys. They buy houses, they never buy enough houses. They do things and go places, but they're never satisfied. They can't stay married. Everything about their life seems to fall apart. I can give you name after name after name. Why? Because they prospered in the money, but not in anything else. But what about money? Will God prosper in me in money? You don't want to seek after money. It's a God who demands more of your life than you should be willing to give. You have a choice where you're going to sow your life into. You're going to give your life for it. Either mammon or money or riches or God. You mean I can't ever be rich? No, you can be rich as long as you don't seek to be rich. If you're going to seek to be rich in the things of the kingdom, not in the things of this world. Yeah, but then I can't have what I not. I know. I understand that. We all have that problem. That our mind hasn't been fully renewed to what he's talking about. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know what is the acceptable will of God. It's God's will that you prosper. Yes, spirit, soul, and body. That's his will for you. But it's not always his will to do the things you want to do. Why? Because God sees ahead of time. It would be much easier for me if I didn't have such a sweet tooth. I'm serious. I prayed this morning, Lord, please take away my desire for all sugar. I want you to notice something. I did not say I'm going to stop eating sugar. I asked him to do it. I've tried. And I've failed. So I turn to the one who can. And who will if I ask. You understand? And this is anything in the kingdom. God is not withholding good things from you. And you say, well, if I follow God, then I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can do anything you want. The scripture is very clear. He said, all things are permissible. But, oh no, there's a but. Not all things are profitable. So understand, once you make that decision to follow your will, when something goes wrong, don't blame God. Okay? Don't blame God. Don't blame somebody else. Well, if they didn't want to do it, I wouldn't have done it. No. Well, if they hadn't said it, I wouldn't have done it. No. It's choices you want to make right now, right today, not tomorrow. Well, I'll wait till tomorrow to think about it. No. Well, how do I know that I'm following the right path? Because I won't pick up that cookie when I want to. Matter of fact, the deal is this. I won't even want to. When God delivered me from alcohol and from cigarettes, I don't even want it. I mean, I can't even stand the smell of beer. And I used to drink beer starting at 10 in the morning. I'm serious. I drank all day, every day. Every day, not just weekends, every day. But I can't even stand the smell of it. Had nothing to do with me. I didn't try to quit. He just took it. Now, cigarettes, I did. I struggled. About 10 times I quit. One day, God just removed the taste. The desire left me. That's God's grace. Oh, then you must be all set. No, I got still things in my life. I still go to him every day. His mercy is new every day. I go and get his mercy every single day. Every day. But I have this hope in me. I have this hope in me. He's going to deliver me out of that too. Because if he delivered me from this, he's going to deliver me from that. That's his promise to me. And my God, I don't know about your God. I can't speak about your God. Hopefully it's the same God. Will not lie. Amen. He won't lie. He will not lie. He will not speak an untruth. He will not give a little white lie. He will not give no big lies. He doesn't lie. You can't even tempt him into lying. So if he said he's going to do something, he said it. Amen? He said it. How do I know? Because I got my mind renewed to the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. You having fun yet? Go into 2 Peter. Oh, that's what I should do. I'm going to do this too real quick. John 10:10. I read that to you, right? He said, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. This is how they amplify. That they may have and enjoy life. God gave us everything here to enjoy. God does not care if you have toys. He doesn't care if you have vacations. He doesn't care if you do things like that. But he doesn't want those to be the purpose for your life. Amen? God rewards his children with those things. Yeah, I never thought that would happen. But God is merciful. Listen, that word life, the state of one who is possessed of vitality or animate. Every living soul, every life. Now, he said, it's of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God through him, both to the hypostatic logos, to Christ, in whom the logos put on human nature. In other words, the living word, Jesus Christ, amen, everything in him and through him was given to us to have life. There's nothing that was created except through what? Christ. You were created in, by, and through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You're born again by accepting the sacrifice for your sins, because you have to have a sacrifice, because the demand on sin is death. God put that demand. If you sin, you die. Amen. That's nothing that you can argue over. When it's time for this to leave this earth, you can't argue about it. You understand that? It's time. One of two things. You either can be ready or not ready. Amen? You want to be ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I understand Paul in his writings. And Paul said, I'm betwixt and between. He said, I don't know what to do, whether to leave this earth and to be with my Lord, which I prefer to do, or stay here. I know if I stay here, it's more beneficial for you, because I get to teach. I get to share what God is showing me and what he's telling us. But he said, if I had a choice, I'd rather be there. Paul didn't want to leave this earth because his life was miserable. You understand that? He was willing. When Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus, he took him and he showed him everything Paul was going to suffer for his namesake. And he still chose to serve. That's an amazing man. Imagine if you were shown everything you would suffer. Would you still serve him? I don't know. I don't know if I would. Amazing man. So he wasn't trying to escape the bad life he had here. He just loved him so much, he wanted to be with the one he loved. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 4:4. The scripture says, but he replied, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. That first life in the Greek is called Zoe. The first scripture I gave you, John 10. This here is called Zoa. It's Zoe in action. All right, that's what it is. It's a verb. It's Zoe in action. Life in action. And he said, he replied, it has been written, man shall not live by upheld, by sustained, by bread alone. Now, remember this. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. This life, he is saying, you're not going to see this life just by getting the things of this world. That's not the life I'm talking about. All right? But in order for you to do what I've called you to do down here, I will make provision for you to make sure you got enough to do what I ask you to do. Matter of fact, he said, I will even do exceedingly abundantly above that. But understand, your life is not about what you make it, or it can be. But the true life he's speaking about is the life that he intended for you to live down here. Okay? Now that word Zoa, listen to this. It means to enjoy real life, to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God, to live, i.e. past life, in the manner of the living and acting of mortals or character, living water, having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul, to be full of vigor, to be fresh, strong, efficient. The adjective for that is to be active, powerful, and efficacious. Look at what he's saying. That's the type of life we're supposed to be living. You understand? That's the type of life we're supposed to be living. When people walk into their home, there's something about in your home, the very presence of the living water of God, that people recognize there's something special here. When you walk into a room, we used to laugh all the time about it. I'd say, tell them the gift is here. When you walk into a room, you bring more than you into a room. You bring the very Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? In a gathering place, often people would come in and say, I just like coming in here. It's so peaceful. It's so joyous. The presence of God. The presence of God. God's life in you has meant for you to be more than you can be on your own. He wants you, we talked about it, I told you this before, he wants you to live a life beyond your means. You're not capable of living on your own. That's why he dealt with your sins himself, because he knew you couldn't. That's why he came and filled your heart and your spirit with a very precious, precious, precious Holy Spirit. Because he wanted to do things in you and through you and for you that you could never do on your own. Now we're trying to get to a place where our minds have caught up with what our spirits already happened to. The idea is that your soul is being saved, transformed. When the Spirit of God came in and dwelt within you, your dead man was transformed into a man of life and light. Exceeding great power was released into you. That nowhere and no way could you have done it on your own. There is a life in you, and we called it, I said it earlier, I believe the very presence that brought the presence of God is in you. The key now is, how do we open them? How do we release what God has given us in us? Because God wants to open you up. Because in you is life. And that life is not just for you, it's for everyone you come in contact with. It isn't that you stand there and preach and jam the gospel down. No. You become the river of living water flowing out of you. And wherever that river flows, it touches people. It touches. When you try to condemn someone into doing what God tells them to do, the same thing will happen to them that happened to you or would happen to you, you'd stay away. Don't ever try to become the law and tell people how they should act or talk. God never did that. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, I came to save the world. That same Jesus that lives in you is still trying to do the same thing, to save the world. in the process of that, of the work of salvation that's working in you and should be working out of you, he will then fix whatever's broken so it can fulfill its purpose here on earth. That's why you're healed, spirit, soul, and body. You prosper, spirit, soul, and body in all things. Why? Because look at even the Jewish nation understood that if in order to have a sacrifice to God for their sin that they've committed, they had to bring in animals that were spotless. They didn't want people used to try to bring in sick, diseased animals. God wouldn't accept them. He wouldn't accept them. Say, hey, what are you doing? You're not bringing your best to me. And it's the same for us. The Bible calls us to be living sacrifices. But if we're not willing to give him our best, why do we expect him to give us his best? If you do reap what you sow, and if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So if you're not given the very best that's in you for God's purpose and plan, then why do we expect him to give us the very best in our lives? Now, God is more gracious than us. He will keep us. And your salvation is guaranteed. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you have committed your life to him, you are saved, you're going to heaven. But when you stand up there and you say, Lord, I live my life for me, you're going to get saved. You're going to be in heaven. I'm always amazed when I was in the service, I watched some of these guys, and I was too young to understand it. These guys had all these ribbons on, all of the campaigns they'd been in, all the, you know, the purple heart, all this stuff, man. I wasn't impressed at all by it. No big deal. I wonder what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we stand there and the rewards come and the crowns come our way because of your service to the king. I wonder if we'll be impressed with those who have many crowns. We'll look at them and say, wow, I know one thing. When I see Paul, I'm going to be impressed. When I see King David, yes, sir. Yes, sir. King David's going to rule with Jesus out of Jerusalem. He's going to sit on David's throne. Look, I'm just saying to you, I'm not talking about the eternal, the temporal down here. The eternal and temporal. What he said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So God is concerned about your natural life, and he's concerned about your spiritual life. That doesn't mean they have to be exclusive to one another. That doesn't mean they have to be separated. That's not what he's saying. You can't do that. You can't live a divided life. What I do out there is for me, and what I do in here is for him. You don't want to do that. A divided house shall not stand. You will soon learn to love the one and hate the other. If money continually becomes your king and your purpose for living and your reasons for working and your reasons for doing this, eventually you're going to see no reason to follow God. If he doesn't give me the money I need, why should I follow him? Because he's the one who keeps you out of hell. That might be a reason. I mean, if nothing else, that should be sufficient. Amen? Because it's him who makes the decision whether you go up or down. You don't. Amen? Jesus said, Matthew 7, didn't he say, many of you will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and have done all these wonderful works in your name? And he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah, but we did all these things. We went to church. We gave our tithes. We did all these things. Amen? It's good stuff. You know, look, I'm not saying trying to, all I'm saying is our minds have to be changed. The way we think, the way we process life. If I'm not seeing his promise, now I'm going to tell you, there's things in me that the Lord is tells me, okay, I see it in the Word, I see his promise, and they haven't come to pass yet. And he keeps reminding me of it down here. It's coming. Get ready. I'm about to do something. And I said to him, he said to me, I'm about to do something this morning in prayer up here. I'm telling you guys, you need to get in prayer on Sunday mornings, if no other time. Give God a chance to talk to you. Give an opportunity to reveal himself to you. I was up here in a prayer, and he said, Dave, I'm about to do a new thing. I said, oh, that's not God. There's nothing new under the sun. And he said, no, I'm about to do a new thing in you. I said, oh, good, good. And I don't look, I'm not thinking I'm going to be here or there doing this or doing that. What I'm thinking is he's about to do something in me. There's things in me I've been crying and praying for, and help me, Lord. I can't do this. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I don't know what it is, because you know what? I see one thing, but God sees multiple things in me that need to be fixed. You understand? There's a ton of things in me that got to be fixed. But he is doing it. You understand that? And that's what he wants to get across to you, that you don't lose hope, that you don't keep looking at your sins or your failures or your weaknesses. Look to me. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I will finish what I've begun in you. Never fear. Never doubt. But our minds can look on our lives, and we can focus on our walk and our weakness and our things we do wrong, and we'll condemn ourselves. We'll start judging ourselves. I told you the scripture not too long ago. I said, but thank God. He said, even though your heart condemn you, I'm greater than your heart. Whoa. So there's too many times that we just quit because we condemn ourselves. Amen. But God isn't about to do that. He wants you to know that if he began the work in you, he will finish the work in you. And his purpose is to get that life that he intended you to live here and in the future in you and operating in you so that life can work outside of you. How do I know that life's in me? Let me ask you a question. Since you got saved, has your life changed? Is it something you have made a decision not to do, or something that God just did sovereignly himself? Come on. Hallelujah. Some of us have gone backwards a little bit. That's fine. As long as your heart is to go forward. Sometimes God has to put the brakes on in order to get some things ready. Amen? Not necessarily he's got to do something out here. He's doing that. That's already accomplished before the foundation of the world. He's trying to get us ready. Amen? There's times when he would withhold himself so you get hungrier to call on him. You understand? If you haven't been in the presence of God, really don't know the presence of God, that wouldn't bother you. But if you've been there, and all of a sudden you're not recognized, you're not seeing, you're not experiencing it, there's something need to be corrected. Amen? Because God only withholds himself if he's trying to get us to change direction a little bit. There's nothing in this life better than being in the presence of God Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So we see what kind of life he wants us to have, right? Go into 2 Peter now, please. Chapter 1. Almost done for today. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How many want more grace? You understand what grace is? Unmerited favor of God. If you have the favor of God, everything that God intended for your life is available to you. Favor of God, you can ask for anything and he'll do it. When we operate in the favor of God, our lives totally, totally transform. The favor of God is, I'm going to say, is this, very simply. Every time you go to him in prayer for his will to be done, it happens. Every time. Not sometimes. Every time. Because when you stand praying, you believe you have what you ask for. Amen. The favor of God. You know the favor of God is on your life. You don't hesitate to go to Him. Right? When you've got a child, you bring them up. If they believe they can get anything out of you that they ask for, as long as it's according to your will. According to your will. Now, if they come to you and ask for a piece of chocolate cake just before bedtime, you might say, no, that's not my will for you to have that. But if they come to you after dinner and say, can I have a piece of cake? Oh, sure, go ahead and have a piece of cake. Why? Because you know it's a perfect time for them to have it. It's not good for them to have it just before they go to bed. God knows the perfect time for you to get what you need. But you go to Him and ask because you know that whatever you ask Him, He's going to give it to you. Because it's His will that you have it, number one. It's also the favor of God that's on you because you know His favor is on you. How do you gain it in favor if He's already got it? You mean you get more favor? According to this, He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So that means I can get an increase in a position of peace that passes understanding, a peace that only comes from what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So as you increase in knowledge, you also increase in peace. Where does the lack of peace come from? Lack of knowledge. When you see something happening in your life and you don't know what the outcome is, or you don't like what's going on, what do? You lose peace. But if you have grace, in other words, if you have the favor of God, you say, Father, I don't like what's going on. Could you please stop this from happening? God says, I know exactly the perfect time to do it. Here it is. But you're not worried about time anymore because you already know it's accomplished. You're not worried about time. Time has no bearing anymore. Amen? What did He say? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So I've seen the promise. I've got a need. I've asked. And because I know I have the favor of God, and I said, well, I need more favor. If you need more favor, you need more knowledge. Right? All right, let's go on there. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not that He's going to give it to you. Not that He's withholding it from you. He's not going to do that. He said, I've given you everything you need to have a good life. We all want a good life. Right? We all want a good life. No, okay, no. You don't care? I don't care. I don't care about your life as much as I care about my own. Isn't that true, though? Really? Come on now. Hate to tell you this, guys, but deep down in the natural man, we're all selfish. It's about me. Amen? And too often, the natural man has taken dominion over the spiritual man. Amen? And so what we've done is fallen back into the natural because it really is about me. When other people, for instance, will say, okay, I'll use me. I used to like to do things for Diane because it made her feel good. And when she felt good, she made me feel good. Had nothing to do with her. Had all to do with me. You understand that? Come on now, being honest. Many a time. Now, was there unselfish acts? Yes, I believe there was. But the truth is, I was concerned about me. And when I did something that I thought was good and she didn't receive it that way, I got angry. Why should I get angry? I was doing it for her in the first place. Because when I did it, I didn't get the result I wanted. Amen? Yes. So the key, what I'm trying to get across here is that we need to watch ourselves. Now, And I'm not talking about being such under the burden of, oh, I'm going to do the wrong thing. No. You'll do the right thing because the Spirit of God is in you. Because you have the Word of God living in you. God said, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. You can ask the Father anything, he'll give it to you. Think about that now. If you abide in me, that means, are you saved? Okay, abiding in Christ means you're saved by the cross, by the Calvary, by Jesus, by the blood. You're saved. Right? Abiding in Christ means you're saved. All right? Now, if my word abides in you, so your life is hidden in Christ because of salvation. Now the word needs to be living in you. And if it's living in you, you can ask God for anything. How do I know the living word's living in me? Because when I do what the word says, it's alive in me. It's working in me. Do you always do what everything the word says? Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no. Well, how can you change that? That's what we're talking about. We're trying to get to the place where we stop trying to do things by the natural way of doing things or what we think we should do. Like one guy said, listen, every time you try to do something because you think that's the way God wants you to do it without knowing the way it's of God, you're bound to fail. Amen. And again, well, I went out and I built the birdhouse and everything worked together for good. Yeah, but the birds aren't going to live in there unless God sends them. Right? So you built a birdhouse, what good is it? You can have the most perfect house, but if the Spirit of God isn't living in it, what good is it? It's an empty shell. If you've been born again, you want the Spirit of God living in you. And he is. But the Spirit of God is trying to get you to come into agreement with him, with you, with your spirit. Listen what he says here. And his divine power has, not will, not maybe, not if, has given to us all things that pertain to life. He said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. He also said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. What are the things he's added unto us? All the things that the Gentiles, those without God, are seeking after. All the things that we waste our energy 7 days a week trying to do. And if the boss said, come in for 8 days, we'd go in for 8 days because we know where our bread is buttered. Amen? So the job has become our master. The TV with all its advertisements and all the stores and all that and the billboards, they become our Holy Spirit who's leading and guiding us. Our Savior is Almighty Buck, the dollar. Who's the one who delivered them out of Egypt? They built a golden calf made out of gold. Isn't that amazing? They didn't make it out of something else. They made it out of gold. Precious gold. How many times do we equate our God to the money we got in our pocket? This is what delivered me out of that problem of debt. The dollar, when it was Jesus. Because the one debt that you could never pay, he paid for you. And no dollar is going to do that for you. Amen? Hallelujah. God's bringing us to a place. Listen to what he said. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Isn't that amazing? Not only life itself down here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out. Every word that proceeded out. Every word. I know you don't like me sometimes, but it's not me. If I'm speaking the word of God, you've got to listen to the word of God and forget the one who's bringing it. Every word that has come across, every time we have an opportunity to hear the word, don't shut it down. You ever get to reading? I read a lot on different people, that messages and commentaries and all this stuff. And I'll get to a scripture, and I'll say, oh, I know. And I skip right over to scripture to find out what he said. You ever do that? Amen? Sometimes you just jump over that scripture and find out what he said. A lot of times we do that. I don't care what God said. Just tell me what you've got to say. No. I can't say anything. God's got to do it. If God isn't speaking to you, you're not hearing. And if you don't hear, then faith doesn't come. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Forget the rest of it. Nothing else matters. Amen? When you're walking in this thing, when God has been changing the way you think, you're renewing your mind, all of a sudden a spirit of discernment starts operating in your life. And you can discern between good and evil. In other words, when a false prophet comes along and a false teacher comes along, you can shut down and say, nope, that's not of me. But you're not basing it on scripture, on emotions and feelings. You're basing it on word of God. Amen? Always listen to what he goes on to say. I lost my whole place here. All right. As divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Again, the knowledge of him. Grace and peace increased by knowledge of God. Then we have everything we need through the knowledge of him. Moses on the top of the mountain, he said, Lord, unless you move, we don't move from this place. We're not going any place. Not in the kingdom of God. Now, this world, you can go any place you want. You can stay home. It doesn't matter to you. Because I don't need the church. But in reality, what you need is the church. The church is the boat where Jesus is sleeping in sometimes, it seems as though. And when the storms of life come out there, it's all by yourself in that big old mountainous storm. Blah. But once you recognize, it's not mine, it's his. Listen to what he says. Pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, which means power, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So what the Lord is trying to get into us is to operate out of the divine nature, not out of the fallen nature. Here's the problem up here. Bible says above there, you saw in the first verse, it said, you can increase in grace and in peace. Amen? In grace and peace. Most of the time for us, other than, you know, times of downtime, whatever it is, our minds are just going 1,000 miles a minute. All these concerns, all the things we got to go on, all the things we got to get done, all the things that's going on in our lives, all the negative things that we hear, all the negative things other people speak about us or talk about, all these things are going on in our mind. And we're trying to get our minds at peace. People have trouble sleeping at night because they don't have peace. They don't find joy in the day because they have no peace. They wake up in the morning and they regret having to wake up because they find nothing ahead of them that brings them any joy. God is trying to get us to a place where we be useful to the kingdom, beneficial to one another, and a light to those in darkness. That's what he's looking to help us with. In that, you're going to find a life that you never thought was possible here on earth. You thought you would have to wait to heaven to get this life. Not so. Not so. Every good thing that you ever think that would be good for your life is right there waiting for you to open it up and say, yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Listen, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what's happening in the world today? That word corruption, in other words, and here it's depravity. What's happening in the world today? Think about it. What's happening in the world today? Is it getting better? Come on now, think about it. It's not getting better. Man has thought that they could somehow regulate life and make it better. So we pass more laws. We take more taxes and money in. In the schools, we've changed and said, let's take God out of the schools because that's divisive. And there's more division in schools than ever before. Everything that man thinks that he can do on his own, what is in essence, like we know, they're building another Tower of Babel. They are trying to reach God by any means other than the cross at Calvary. When the Twin Towers fell, they stood at the grounds there and said, we will build again better than before. Not with God's help we will overcome. No, we'll do this thing. Many in the Christian community are doing the same thing. I can do this. I can do this. I can earn my way to heaven. I can make it better. I can just do it this way and that way, and I know God's going to work it out because that's what I would do if I was God. Really? But once you stop, Lord, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Help me. I can't do this alone. I have no strength. I've been trying to live this good and godly life as long as I've been saved, and I haven't achieved it yet. What is hindering my presence? What's hindering my advancement? What is going on in my life? Or maybe you're saying to yourself, I've had a great life since I came to Christ. Everything's worked out perfectly. I've never had a problem since you came to Christ. Praise God. I really, truly am happy for you. But I do believe that all of us are on a journey. All of us. And sometimes it gets wearisome, and sometimes it gets burdensome, and sometimes we just can't seem to find the way anymore. It seems like that was so clear at one time, now it's been fogged over, and we're not sure on. But God is about to clear some things up. God is about to open our eyes of our understanding. He's about to make some things clear to us. All we have to do is be a willing participant with Him. That's it. Yes, Lord. Yes. Anything. I just need clarity to my life. I need purpose for my life. I need direction for my life. I need joy and peace in my life. I need hope for a future in my life. These are the things I look for. Now, listen to me. We can make all the plans we want, but God's got the final say. Amen? God's got the final say. But God's ways are not burdensome. They're not hard. They're not difficult. They're very clear and very purposeful. His purpose for you is to have a good and godly life. Amen? Once we get that fact down, that's the first thing. That's the first thing. What does God want for my life? A good life, a godly life. If you got those things operating in your life, you've already gained ground. Amen? But the moment adversity comes, a moment that something comes that however jumps up in front of you, do not focus on it, focus on Him. The more you focus on that adversity, the more it'll come and dominate your life. But once you come to understand that God has a plan and my hope is in Christ, not in me, in my abilities, my strengths, my provision, none of that. My hope is in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll do some more next week on this subject. That you may prosper, even as your soul prospers. So we need to understand that the first thing we need to